Stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Piano Rag. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Piano Rag. Who am I looking at?
My name is Paul, and I'm playing the banjo and resonator guitar. I'm keeping the hillbilly hip-hop tradition alive.
Good start.
My name is Zach Smith. I play the upright double bass, and I support Paul in keeping that tradition alive.
My name is Jacob Levy. I play the alto saxophone and occasionally the flute and clarinet. And I also support these two kids.
We're all very supportive.
Let me ask you one thing. Do you guys describe yourselves as a jazz trio? Is that someone say, what are you guys?
Actually, I think we call it groovegrass music, which is kind of drawing from different backgrounds that we have in jazz, bluegrass, American roots music, and world music.
Okay, so why don't we jump right into a live song? And we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the process.
All right, this one's called Common.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Piano Rag. Thank you. fantastic. Oh, we already have a call. It better not be a wrong number. That happens a lot. Kill Radio. You want to talk to Piano Rag, huh? Okay, hold on. I'm going to put you on the air.
Hey, guys. This is Nikki Fry calling from Washington, D.C.
Yo, Nikki Fries. How you doing, baby?
Hey, pretty good, man. I love that jam you guys are playing. You guys are hot.
Thank you very much,
man. So you're listening live all the way on the East Coast, huh?
Yeah. You know, I was either there to do work for school, and, you know, I saw my boys are going to be on internet radio, so, you know, got to listen to the fellas.
Right on. Well, do you have a question for them, or just a...
Yeah, I have a question. actually, I really have a question. Do they have a question for me?
Why did you call?
I called to show my love and support.
We appreciate that.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
You know, yeah, from West Coast to East Coast, you guys have representation. If y'all ever come out to Washington, D.C., I want to, you know, I'll get you guys set up and make sure that, you know, you have a place to play.
We'll catch the next flight.
Yo, that's good, you know, because, like, I need some company.
I'm sitting around listening to internet radio.
I live lonely with plants, and I have internet radio. That's, like, you know, the extent of my life. So I'm glad that have you guys, you know, there.
Right on. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.
See that, John? You're bi-coastal. You're creating an army.
Absolutely. Well, why don't we talk about that then? That's a good thing to talk about. Your fan base. It's probably a little bit of a different process putting together a fan base for, you know, let's say a rock band than for an instrumental act.
We have fans?
Well, exactly. Could you describe your experience getting fans and hanging on to them? Is it just through people coming to see you play live or what?
Yeah, for the most part, we started out our first shows, it was just our friends, and that's usually the way it is when you start a band, but it turns out that our friends really enjoy our music, so we do have a fan base. We know most of them pretty well, and, you know, some of them we don't, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, and, like, the really strange thing is, you know, when you have a rock band, whatever, you have usually, like, a certain group of people, but with us, our music... You know, we have a little jazz, a little bluegrass, a little world, everything. So it's like we get the masses to come out. We get, like, people of all ages, like, just every different style comes out, and it gets pretty nuts.
You guys are pretty damn popular. I'm gonna see who's calling now.
Uh-oh.
Kill Radio.
Hi. Josephine Cedar.
Yeah, do you have a question or comment for Piano Rec?
No, I just wanted to let you know that instead of being in class, I'm listening to them on the radio.
Instead of being in class, she's listening to you on the radio.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
So, okay, so you guys actually do have quite a following. You were saying you get a lot of different people who come up to you after the show from all ages. Have you guys developed kind of a Piano Rag cult? I mean, does it see a lot of the same people at your gigs, or is it very...
We definitely have... A group of super fans, we like to call them, who sometimes they go a little insane at our shows, even though it's acoustic music for the most part.
It's amazing what a banjo can do to a woman.
I've seen that movie, I think.
I can agree with that statement. Paul's wowed women with his banjo skills.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, did you guys start, before you started gigging, was it just playing in someone's living room in a garage or something like that?
Actually, Paul was up in Santa Cruz, and he had moved back about a year ago, and we had been friends from before, so we wanted to play together, and I've been a drummer for a while. So we randomly ran into Jacob at a hip-hop show. Tommy Lockhart was the name of the guy, because our friend Brandon was playing keyboards with him. So I talked to him. I remembered he played saxophone. I was in marching band with Jacob in high school. I'm not afraid to admit it.
We went to middle school, too.
There you go, yeah.
Back in the day.
And so we got together, and we knew kind of what the sound we were going for. Paul was on banjo. I started out just playing with brushes on drums. And then I had this bass, and I picked it up, and we played a song, and Paul looked at me, and he goes, "When did you learn how to play bass?" And then,
yeah, I think that was one of the most amazing things, is I grew up with this guy, like, jamming on drums and guitar and stuff, and all of a sudden he's playing this fretless instrument, which I think is probably one of the hardest things to do, and he makes it sound pretty good, and the way that it blends with the sax is, it's sexy.
And seriously, you didn't know how to play it before? You were a drummer.
I had it, and I saw, like, Elvin Jones in concert, and I saw his bass player, and I liked it, so I kind of, like, went out and got a bass and, like, started playing. I was like, this really hurts my hand and my wrist, so I, like, put it down for a while, and then, like, when it came down to the three of us playing together, I picked it back up because I didn't have a choice if I wanted to be in the band. So.
How did you get involved in music in the first place? As I always ask, what went wrong in your life as a kid that made you want to go get into music?
I think we can all blame the parents for that one.
So. Definitely.
Yes. Okay, well, actually, I'd like to start with the banjo. And Paul, maybe you can sort of explain how you got to pick up an instrument like that and what it means to you.
Everybody always asks me, why did you choose the banjo? And I mean, it's actually kind of cliche. I was at my buddy's house, and I was watching the movie Deliverance.
You're kidding
and,
me.
No, I'm not kidding you. And I heard the banjo, and I mean, it kind of captivated me. And then I just ran into some bluegrass records, and I was listening to Del McCurry and stuff, and this banjo, the sound of it was like a machine gun, and it just really, it hit home. And so I picked it up and almost flunked high school because of it.
Wow. And were you into jazz? I mean, it sounds like, with you guys anyway, it didn't really start out as jazz. You were doing kind of different things.
Well, I mean, like, my roots playing the banjo and resonator guitar, I mean, I'm really into roots Americana music, like blues and bluegrass. And then I guess, you know, once you start loving that music, you realize how it influences everything else. So I love every kind of music, and I want to play it on the banjo. And that's what makes it so neat, is there's new music that hasn't been played on the banjo before, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Awesome. And Jacob, tell me about your process here. How did you start with the wind instruments?
I started on the piano when I was real little, and then I moved over to the clarinet in like middle school. And clarinet, you know, it was whatever. That's where I really learned how to play. And then in high school, I first heard Cannonball Adderley. And I fell in love with his sound. And so I was like, screw this, I want to get on the sax. Like, the clarinet's fun, it's just, I don't know, the sax is a little hipper.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I got into jazz, like, the beginning of high school. Like, bebop primarily, Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie. And I never looked back. And, yeah, I never thought I'd be playing, like, two different genres of music with, you know, old school jazz, and I think it works real well. So,
well, I agree.
Notice how Jacob doesn't mention marching band.
I mean, it's
I think
so
he's a little embarrassed.
I mean, I mentioned the clarinet. What more
yeah,
do I need
yeah.
to say?
Step at a time.
Yeah.
Shall we go into another live song?
Yeah,
are you guys
sure.
ready?
I think this song we'll do is called "Heavy Lifting," which I kind of pulled from an old bluegrass tune, and it really shows Zach's skills on this bass.
That's a lot of pressure, man.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Piano Rag. Thank you. I can tell when it's over because your head stopped bobbing. Man, if this was a job, I would definitely be saying I love my job right now. Holy hell in a handbasket. That was really, really amazing. I'm curious to know about the writing process. I mean, it's obviously a different thing than, you know, you come up with a loop and some neat lyrics. How do you know to begin and work on a middle and finish a song like this?
Well, I think the way that it usually kind of works out is one of us will come in with kind of this skeleton idea or a groove, and we'll just kind of all collaborate and kind of add to it and make it piano rag. Because if it was just something that we had pre-composed and we came in and told each other what to play, it wouldn't sound exactly, I mean, what's happening right here.
And that would probably piss people off too.
How much improvisation is there in both the writing process and the performing?
Well, I mean, like in the tune that we just played, there's actually quite a bit. Like I came up with the skeleton chord structure of that, and then Jacob kind of wrote that melody line. And then kind of just in the middle there, we set aside parts where we can improvise and kind of explore ourselves and each other musically.
And is this physically written down somewhere, or is it just written in your head?
Very few of our songs are. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say none of our songs are physically written down, which we should probably remedy.
At least in their
point.
Entirety. Yeah. I mean, parts and rhythms are.
Now, you know, improvisation and the saxophone sort of go hand in hand. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, a lot of it is improvisation. And like Paul said, basically one of us comes in with, you know, a skeleton, like sort of a frame of reference of, you know, the melody.
Is it one member over more than any other member that sort of creates the skeleton of the song? Or you guys, is it a strictly collaborative process?
It's pretty collaborative. We all write our own parts. As far as one person, you know, bringing in the meat of the song, I'd say it's probably Paul and Jacob. I tend to lean towards the more simplistic bass parts, just because I feel like I'm playing like bass and drums in one. We don't have a percussionist, so.
But Zach has come up with some pretty dirty, funky.
They get dirty at times, though.
It does get.
I think that's what's really neat about our music too, is that we kind of leave the drummer out, and that's where we kind of have that bluegrass influence. But Zach's bass lines are really syncopated, so I always feel a beat when we're playing. And just to kind of touch on the subject of improvising too, is that's also kind of stems from, you know, roots blues and bluegrass music, because, you know, they'll sing their melody lines and then, you know, the banjo or mandolin or guitar player will have a chance to kind of go off of that and experiment a little bit, although it is a little bit more confined than jazz.
Yeah, and I think we did try out a couple drummers, like, I don't know, we had two or three, and, you know, we thought it grooved, whatever, but we thought it was missing something. Like, the three of us just alone, there's, like, this like, intimacy level that you just can't have with the drums. Because when you take out the drums, I think it grooves harder, because people in their mind, they want to hear drums, so what they do is they have to focus in on just these three instruments, and, like, you know, they... I mean, that's basically how it works.
People tend to internalize rhythm, like, as a sort of an instinct anyway, so it's all there for everyone.
And Zach being a drummer, he just hated everybody.
True.
Not good enough. Jacob, do you feel that you have sort of an identifiable saxophone quality that's Jacob's? You know what I mean? Like, is there style of playing? How does your personality come out through the music? Are you... like in some cases, a musician becomes another person when they're playing an instrument. You know, they're more confident, or you know, they're wittier or something like that. Are you the same person talking now as you are when you're playing saxophone?
I'd say I like to be pretty humorous and wacky, off the walls. That sometimes, yeah, it does come out in my playing.
Do you think about how are you going to make Jacob's voice heard in a given song when you're coming up with the saxophone part?
I think that's mostly due to improvisation. Like, yeah, you know, the lines I come up with and just off the wall rhythms and this and that. And I basically play off of these two guys a lot. Like, what they're doing, we're basically having a conversation. And like, if they say something, I'll say it back, or I'll scream, I'll yell through the sax.
Do they ever musically turn back to you and say, what?
Oh, yeah, they'll just stop playing. And they're like, what was that? Mm.
Sometimes Jacob, he has like an alternate persona on stage. Sometimes he'll unbutton his shirt down to his belly button, and he gets kind of a Rico Suave thing going on.
I mean, you know, it gets stuffy in the club. Yeah.
Tell me about your first experience playing in front of an audience of people that were not your friends. What was that like? And, you know, was it easy, or were you guys nervous? Did it take a while to sort of get into the groove?
First experience, that was a long time ago.
How long ago was it? How long have you guys been making music together?
Actually, it's about a year. Yeah. It's almost exactly a year.
I thought you meant, like, you know, personal experience and not together.
No, I mean as Piano Rag, as the three of you saying, okay, this is what we have to offer.
Oh, our first show is at this place called The Stone in Thai Town, and it's like, it's right next to like a weird like transvestite karaoke bar or something, and we booked it with this promoter who we don't book with anymore, but. He's a nice guy.
I hope he's not listening.
Yeah, please don't be listening.
That's him calling.
Yeah, really. No, but so he was like, yeah, it's an acoustic night. So we all brought our instruments. Paul and I didn't have amps at that point. So we're playing to like this big full room and everybody's talking. We can't even hear each other on stage. We're playing into microphones. But still, over all that, I wasn't too pleased with that. I don't think Jacob and Paul were either, but people seemed to like it. So
I also think that when we play... When we rehearse, it's just us, and we've grown so comfortable with each other experimenting musically that even if we mess up, it's no big deal, and sometimes those mess-ups can turn into the best part of the evening. And I think it's really tough to recreate that on stage because you just feel everybody's eyes watching you. So I'm always striving to feel like I'm alone while I'm on stage and just being able to play.
Well, in terms of those eyes watching you, do you find that people have sort of preconceived expectations about what you're supposed to be? Like, they see three people, they see a saxophone, you know, and are they expecting you to, you know, cover something traditional? Or do people expect something from you? Or are they pleasantly surprised? Or are there people that you feel won't really listen because...
They probably expect us to suck.
They see the banjo, and there's a lot of things that pops into people's heads, but...
Like the movie Deliverance.
Exactly. You know... I don't know of any other band that has our sort of instrumentation, so people for the most part are interested if they haven't heard us before, and they're curious about what we might sound like.
What's the significance of the name Piano Rag? There's a distinct lack of piano in this room.
We talked about that before we came on the show, and Paul was like, Zach, you need to answer that question because I'm not going to. So
come up with something.
Basically,
quick.
We were trying to come up with a name for our band because we really wanted to play a show, and you can't do that without a name. And you know, our parents and friends were throwing out some pretty bad names, so we just sort of resigned ourselves to the fact that band names are pretty stupid in general. And I looked at this Scott Joplin vinyl that I had. And it said Piano Rag right across the front, and I liked the word, so that was our name.
And your only web presence at the moment is MySpace, right? You have the myspace.com/PianoRag?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, cool. So people should check that out. Why don't we go and play the other track from the CD that you brought in? You want to maybe introduce it?